Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Bucketheads, episode 22 of Lane Grant Holy Land's College Basketball Podcast. My name is Connor Lamons, and I'm here with my lovely co-host Justin Golba to catch you up on the most recent happenings of Ohio State and the Big Ten, as it appears that the Big Ten Conference has kind of gotten past some of the COVID-19 issues that it's been dealing with for the past few weeks. Justin, how are we doing this week?
It's been a long week, only because I had to watch the Browns on Monday night, which was truly it's the first time I almost fell asleep during a football game where I had a rooting interest. So, you know, luckily Ohio State had a good weekend, a stressful weekend. I lost some years off my life, but a good weekend, so made up for it.
Yeah, shout out Baker Mayfield, the first quarterback this NFL season, and so far the only one to have 10 straight incompletions.
I do wish they put an asterisk next to that, because there was 4 drops in between. I'm not defending him. He was seeing ghost. But still, there was like 4
drops.
Did
he start like 1 of 8 for like 20 yards or something?
We started 1 of 1 for 20 yards, and then he was 1 of 11 for 20 yards, which implies Jesus the next Christ. 10 passes did not go as they played.
Yeah, I didn't watch any football this past weekend. My fantasy football season is over with. I have no NFL allegiances other than my own pocket. I came in 3rd place in my league, so I didn't watch any this past weekend. I watched all basketball. Anyway, for the first time in a couple weeks, we actually do have basketball to talk about. Sunday night, Ohio State played for the first time in a few weeks. They went to Lincoln. They beat Nebraska 87-79 on the road. They trailed by 5 points with 30 seconds left and won the game. Matt Tamanini and I recorded a recap podcast right after that game, so we're not going to get really deep into this game. If you want to hear about that game and break that game down, go back and listen to that podcast. But Justin, what was your like single biggest takeaway watching that game?
Yeah, you said it in that little sentence that you just said, on the road. That's when you're on the road in conference play, you just win and you get on the plane or bus and you go home. That's all that matters. I tweeted something during the game from the Bucketheads account there's only 2 things that matter in January and February on the road in conference play. It's wins and losses. This would have been a bad loss if it happened. It didn't. They won. This team has proven they know how to kind of man up and win games late. They lost a couple late, but they've also won more than they've lost late, so that's good. And I, you know, shout out to Malachi Branham.
Yeah, he was absolutely unbelievable. And I think that, I mean, we were talking about him early on. I was saying early in the season, I was like, I think he's going to be a star, man. I think he's going to be so good. And he may never score 35 points a game, but like once Liddell's gone, he's going to be the guy. But I agree with you. The biggest thing is it's on the road. And luckily, I didn't see too many Ohio State fans on like Twitter or on Facebook, because that's usually where like the sour comments are. I didn't see too many people that were like, you know, oh, this team sucks. Like, this is Nebraska. Pretty much everybody was like, good win. Figure out a way to win and get home, because it's true. It's been 3 weeks. They're ice cold. Their legs are under them, and you're on the road. So it doesn't really matter who you're playing. When you're on the road, it's hard to win.
Yeah, and I won't touch on this too long, but first, one thing I did, last year I covered one Malachi Branham high school game when he was at St. Vincent St. Mary's, who, I don't know if you know this, LeBron James went there, as the announcers love to point out, 45 times during games. But that's like that will never cease to amaze me how many times I like to say that. Anyway, but the game I covered when Malachi Branham was in high school, he had 33 points. He looked just like the Nebraska game came just as easy to him as that high school game did. And that was really reassuring to see. And a lot of his shots were open, but you still got to hit them. And that's what he did. And I think a lot of people were kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt, just because people do recognize on the road's hard. They haven't played in 3 weeks. No Kyle Young, which we're very quickly learning. If last year's Big Ten tournament, the Oral Roberts game, and this game didn't teach us anything, it's that E.J. Liddell is probably the best player on this. E.J. Liddell is the best player on this team. Kyle Young might be the most important, because every time he's not on the floor, they just struggle. Even coming back to earlier this season, you know, with the Akron game and stuff. So let's hope Kyle Young could stay on the floor. New dad, Kyle Young. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to Kyle Young. Congrats on the never mind. They definitely could have used him. They could use him in any game, but yeah, they definitely could have used him. Almost the game-winning bucket was a Derek Walker put back layup that Eugene Brown slapped away. But like, if you have Kyle Young around, he probably stops a few offensive rebounds. But
that game's not in overtime with Kyle Young playing. That's all I'm saying.
Probably not. So hopefully they'll get him back Thursday for their game against Indiana, which is what we're going to talk about next. Buckeyes take on Indiana tomorrow night. Well, today's Wednesday, so by the time you're hearing this, tonight, 7 o'clock on FS1. The Hoosiers are a good team. They're 10-3. They're only 1-2 in Big Ten play. They have not been good in conference play. They beat, let me pull up their schedule here, because they beat somebody that wasn't too great, and then they lost two teams that weren't that great.
Well, they beat our secondary school, St. John's, but they only beat them by two.
They beat our favorite school, St. John's. St. John's not very good. We know that. They lost to Wisconsin, which is the game they blew like an 18-point lead. And then they beat Nebraska by 13, and then they lost to Penn State. So Indiana doesn't really have any good wins on their schedule so far. They don't really have any good wins on their schedule. But they have a pretty solid roster. Obviously, Trace Jackson Davis is like an elite player.
Yeah, Notre Dame is like a decent win. It's not amazing. It's weird because Notre Dame beat Kentucky, but they've also lost to Boston College. So, you know, take that as
Notre Dame KenPom 63.
Yeah, so
that's fine. Yeah, or whatever, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. They have a knack for blowing leads. They did that against Wisconsin and Syracuse. They lost to Syracuse in double overtime, 112-110. In a game that I remember watching, it was fantastic, just only because it was right before the Ohio State Duke game. But it was very good. And, you know, they beat Nebraska as they should at home. You know, as we just talked about, on the road at Nebraska is tough, but you catch Nebraska at home, you just got to beat them at this point if you want to be anything. And then they lost to Wisconsin. Wisconsin, Indiana, I put them in a bubble of like, there's like four or five teams in the Big Ten. I can see them losing to any team in the Big Ten. I can also see them beating any team in the Big Ten. And it just simply comes down to how well their best player plays. How well does Trace Jackson Davis play? How well does Johnny Davis play? I mean, Wisconsin just beat Purdue, as we'll talk about later. Johnny Davis at 37-14. That's a ridiculous game. You know, Trace Jackson Davis might have to have a couple of those kinds of games, not 37-14, but 30-10, 25-12, stuff like that, to beat some of these teams, like in Ohio State. And if there's any team he's going to do it against, Ohio State might make sense, you know, because they're, you know, I know Coach Holtman talked about today, this is one of the best front courts in the Big Ten, if not in the country, with Race Thompson and Trace Jackson Davis. So, you know, Kyle Young playing is going to – that's going to be a huge thing for Ohio State. If he's not playing, they're going to need somebody – a Eugene Brown, somebody smaller to step up in that role and try to contain those two, because they're not easy. Their guard play is very inconsistent. It's not bad. It's just very consistent with Xavier Johnson leading. They turn the ball over a lot. Yeah. They turn
a lot.
It's very frustrating to Ohio State fans. you know, and they have Northwestern transfer Miller Kopp, who just he's been okay. He hasn't been great. He's averaging 7 points a game and 3 rebounds.
He was better with Northwestern, honestly.
Yeah, he seemed like he's struggling to carve out somewhat of a role with this team. Rob Finney is just kind of he's okay again. Same with Tamar Bates. Same with Parker Stewart. They just have a lot of guys who are good, but guys aren't going to take over in the backcourt where you have Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson. You know, Trace Jackson Davis 19-8, Race Thompson 11-8. That's what they average. You know, that's where they're going to try to make their bread and butter. And that's where it's tough if Ohio State can get up on them, because they don't shoot the ball particularly. I mean, they're 36% from three, but their stars don't shoot the ball from three because they're their front court guys. You have Miller Kopp and Parker Stewart are their best shooters. So, you know, they can get streaky. Obviously, they scored 110 points against Syracuse. That was in two overtimes, but that's still a lot of points. But this is just a team where it kind of depends on what version of them you get. What version of Xavier Johnson are you going to get? Because it varies. And what version of, you know, is Trace Jackson Davis? I think sometimes Indiana fans want to see him just take over more, just try to actually put his stamp on games more. And we'll see if maybe against Ohio State he tries to do that.
I think the big thing with Indiana is I don't think we've seen Indiana play at their best yet. I don't think you've seen all of their pieces kind of firing at the same time. And when they are firing at the same time, I think it's a very good, you know, it's a very, very good team. Because obviously Trace Jackson Davis, he's a guy that I'm not even looking at his stats right now. I could probably pull up. He's probably averaging more like 22-10. He's averaging 19-8. That's very close to what EJ Liddell is averaging. He can do that in any given night, but a dude like Miller Kopp, who's averaging 7 points a game, when he transferred over to Indiana from Northwestern, that's not what you're expecting from him. Because I'm pretty sure at Northwestern, he averaged more like 13 or 14 points per game. That's what you're expecting. Yeah, he averaged 13 and then 11 per game for Northwestern the last 2 years. That's what you expect from him. That's probably what he'll end the season with. So he's going to turn it on. Race Thompson is going to continue to be like a 10 points per game kind of guy. I don't know too much about Xavier Johnson. I could probably pull him up too. I think he played at Pitt.
He's from Pitt.
Xavier Johnson. Let's see what he averaged at Pitt. Okay, there's four different Xavier Johnsons in college basketball right now, so that's problematic. Give me 1 second here. We'll find it. But I also pulled up the turnover numbers for Indiana, which is fun. So they have the third most turnovers in the Big Ten. They have the most. They have the second most turnovers per game, and they have the third worst assist-to-turnover ratio in the Big Ten. So almost 15 turnovers per game, and they have an assist-to-turnover ratio of 1.07 to 1. So for every single assist, they are also turning the ball over. That is very bad. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 players who are averaging at least one turnover per game. None that average more than 2.5, basically. So you even have guys who only play 10 minutes a game who are turning it over. It's not like you have like one guy who turns it over 3-4 times a game. As a unit, they cannot hang on to the ball.
No, and you know, like a Miller Kopp, for example, you just brought him up. You know, he did have 28 against Syracuse. Now, granted, that was in 48 minutes, but it was 9-for-16 from the field. It was still an efficient 28. Like, he has that in his arsenal. It's just a matter of when you get it, what are you getting from everybody else? And again, like I said, that game's a little bit of an outlier because it went to double overtime. But, you know, Xavier Johnson is a talented player.
Years at Pitt, I was able to pull the correct Xavier Johnson up. At Pitt, as a freshman, he averaged 15.5. As a sophomore, he averaged 12. As a junior, he averaged 14.
Yeah, and you would expect those numbers, those points to go down a little bit just because Pitt was so bad when he was there. You know, he was one of their only scoring options along with Justin Champagne. So, you know, it makes sense that it would go down a little bit. The problem is, first of all, they're not a good free throw shooting team. They shoot 67% from the free throw line. So they're not really taking advantage of their opportunities there. And their top three players in terms of points, the only guys averaging in double digits, shoot 67%, 60%, 69%. So they're not taking advantage of the free throws. You have three guys who average in double digits. Everybody else that scores is around the 7 to 5 points per game mark. You know, it's just it's kind of like you said, it's a team that if they're all clicking, it's very good. But they just haven't really had that this year. Now, obviously, the elephant in the room is Indiana at home. They're undefeated at home this year. Assembly Hall is notoriously one of the toughest places to play in college basketball. It is one of the most fun places to watch a game, on TV at least. I'm assuming it's great there. I've never been. But even on TV.
It's on my list for sure. I need to be 100%, there at some point.
But even on TV, it looks like just an absolute blast. Everything about Indiana is fun. You know, with the striped, you know, warm-up pants and Assembly Hall, like, you have a picture of Indiana basketball. I can literally picture Christian Watford hitting the three against Kentucky, you know, stuff like that is a lot of fun. I remember the old days with Eric Gordon and guys like that who were just really talented for Indiana. You know, so it's going to be again, we're back to winning on the road. Can they go into Indiana, win at a place where nobody else has won? Now, granted, all of Indiana's big games have been on the road. So they're undefeated at home, but they haven't really beat anybody at home. So it's an interesting kind of thing.
Yeah, I would have to do the math, but what I've learned today in the press the little media availability that Holtman had, Indiana is one of, if not the best, 2-point field goal team in the country, which would make sense when you have Race Thompson and you have Trace Jackson Davis down low. They're one of the best teams in the country at shooting the ball as long as they're staying inside the three-point line. They're an okay three-point shooting team, but the thing is, like you said, bad free throw shooting team. So if they're going to want to get to the rack and they get fouled, they're not converting on a lot of those free throws. And then they're turning the ball over, which takes away possessions where you could be attacking the rack. So they just have some fundamental things that they have to work on, but it's tough to improve it when you're looking at the stat sheet and it's like scattered throughout the whole roster and it's not just a few guys. Like Nebraska, I think we did a preview of Nebraska. We said like Alonzo Verge for Nebraska, he by himself averages 4 turnovers a game, which is atrocious. You can look at Nebraska and be like, they can turn the ball over less as a team if he is better, versus Indiana is like literally the whole roster is turning the ball over at least once per game. So big point of emphasis for Ohio State, Jamari Wheeler specifically, is going to be force the ball out of their guards' hands, force them to turn the ball over, and give Ohio State some additional opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, well, you have guys like Jordan Geronimo, you know, who plays 12 minutes a game. He's played in every game they've played. He has 18 turnovers and 5 assists. You know, like that's just not going to get – that's not getting the job done. With Nebraska, it's interesting because you saw – well, you know, late in the game, Alonzo Verge wasn't in the game. He's their best player. He didn't play the last like 10 minutes of the game. It was actually pretty interesting decision by Fred Hoiberg. But I mean, it's hard to argue it because they took Ohio State to overtime. So they just rode the hot hand with that.
Kobe Webster. They left Kobe Webster in for a while.
Yeah, they really rode their hot hand, which, you know, again, we talk about Chris Holtman all the time. Chris Holtman's very good at that, riding the hot hand, you know, with Malachi Branham. He did it against Duke with Cedric Russell. Normally, it's just E.J. Liddell, so it makes the job easy for you. But this will be an interesting E.J. Liddell game because he's coming off a tough shooting game. Obviously, he was like 2 for 15. You could tell that his legs just weren't there. When he shoots a jump shot, 80% of it's in his legs. You know, and you could just tell his legs weren't there. Everything was coming up short. He was tired. He still did a great job of making himself valuable with his overall stat line, which was, you know, like eight, he had like 4 blocks, 8 assists. He had like, 8 or 9 rebounds as well. He played really well. Yeah. He flirted with a triple-double. But it wasn't their shooting. Obviously, he still stepped up and hit the 2 late free throws, which were unbelievable. Like, his mindset there was unbelievable for him to put those behind him and just say, all right, I got 2 free throws to tie the game. But this will be an interesting game for him because he's coming off probably his first bad shooting game of the year, and he's going up against maybe the best front court in the Big Ten. So it'll be interesting to see how he kind of puts last game behind. And he does a very good job in general of just going like kind of blinders. Okay, what's next? Not focusing on the past. But he's going to have his hands full for sure with Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson. And that's where guys like Kyle Young, if he plays, and Zed Key have to step up and kind of help shoulder some of that load.
Yeah, I think that you'll see a bounce back game from him. That's probably his rock bottom as far as shooting goes. He's probably not going to have a tougher game than that. But you're right. Wow. Having Kyle Young available tomorrow is going to be huge for them because it's probably going to be
– I think it will decide the game.
It'll probably be Zed Key on Trace Jackson Davis, and then it'll probably be EJ Liddell on Race Thompson, which is fun because they're very similar players built physically in a very similar way. Race Thompson is, you know, 6'8", 230. So if EJ is out around the perimeter, Race Thompson, you know, he'll go – he's mobile enough to take him out to the perimeter. So those guys going at it will be fun. Zed Key, you know, he's super entertaining, and he has always had a knack for defending guys who are a little bigger than him pretty well. So him and TJD down low will be a really interesting one. It could end up coming down to guard play and how well can guys like Michi Johnson and Jamari Wheeler take advantage of some of these turnover prone guards for Indiana.
It should be Jamari Wheeler should be licking his lips. I mean, this should be a game where he just goes nuts.
You would hope so. And he had 5 turnovers last game. So you're hoping that he'll, you know, be able to tighten that up a little bit. But having Kyle Young as that extra big guy in there to rotate against those two bigs for Indiana is going to be key. I think if Kyle Young doesn't play, I think the Buckeyes will be able to. Yeah, I don't think they'll have the guns to beat them on the road in Assembly Hall if Kyle Young doesn't play. If he does play, I think they'll have a chance, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say a little bit of an X factor here is if you're ever going to pull out the Joey Brunk weapon, it might be this one. I mean, with Kyle Young not playing, obviously he's Joey Brunk. Well, you can use anything as a weapon if you use it right. You know what I mean?
He's got 5 fouls to give, I guess.
That's what I mean. He's transferred from Indiana, so he knows at least these guys. You know, he knows how they play. He might be able – if his weapon is just simply scouting report, you know, on what maybe doesn't – you can't see on the video. You know, that might be, but if Kyle Young doesn't play, I actually expect Joey Brunk to play probably 10 minutes. He might do that thing where he starts and it comes out like at the first media timeout kind of thing. Chris Holtman likes to do with him. I've never quite understood that, but a lot of coaches do it with players. Kansas does it. It's weird, but you know, I'm not going to sit here and question guys that make millions a year for these decisions. I don't make any money to make these decisions. So, I'll question if I want to, but nevertheless, it would be interesting to see if they use Brunk. Sorry, who is
you? Not to cut you off, but when we were saying, hey, he's got 5 fouls to get, maybe Joey Brunk can just come in there and throw some fouls around. The 3 guys that take the most shots per game for Indiana are, in order, Trace Jackson Davis, Race Thompson, Xavier Johnson. They're 3 leading scorers, and their free throw percentages are 68, 60, and 69.
Yeah,
the guys that take the most shots for them are not good free throw shooters. So, you know, maybe throwing some fouls around.
That's what I mean.
Just maybe that wouldn't be the worst idea. And if they hit a bunch of free throws, it's like, okay, we'll have to adjust. But
yeah. I would put this team at the free throw line as much. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis has taken 84 free throws in 13 games. You're talking about 7 to 8 free throws a game. That's a lot.
The only 3 regulars I'm seeing here that are at 75 or above, guys that are in the rotation somewhat regularly, is Christian Lander, who's at 75%. He comes off the bench. He averages 3 points a game. Tamar Bates, who is a guard that also comes off the bench. He averages 6 points a game, and he's at 80%. And then Miller Kopp, who averages 8 points a game, and he is 94.4% from the line. So those are the 3 guys you probably don't want to put on the stripe, but 2 of them are off the bench. You know, their starting 5 is made up of 3 guys who cannot shoot free throws very well.
Yeah, I mean, Lander is taking 8 free throws and Bates is taking 10. So, you know, the sample size is pretty small there. Miller Kopp 17 for 18, which is, I mean, that's good. Just don't foul him, I guess. You know, let him shoot. He's not doing that too well this year either. So, he's 40% from 3, so not bad. But again, you know, I don't think he really puts himself in the position to take games over as much as he could. And, you know, like I said, he had 28 against Syracuse. So, this is a guy who can get you. I think, didn't he have a huge game against Ohio State last year with Northwestern?
Miller Kopp, yeah, he's a very good player.
Yeah, he's a very, very good player. So that's kind of, you can't truly just focus on Race Thompson and Trace Jackson Davis because you do have Miller Kopp, Parker Stewart, Xavier Johnson. These guys are good players, but where they make their bread and butter for sure is those two in the front court.
Trying to find the stat line that he had against Ohio State last year. I'm pretty sure he had like 24 points or something. But
yeah, the game they almost lost to Northwestern, he had a big game. Or the game they did lose.
Did they lose against Northwestern. Yeah. I'm trying to get it off a sports reference, but it's giving me a Matrix ad that I can't skip, unfortunately.
Let's skip the entire movie.
Yeah, I certainly am skipping the entire movie. Let's see here. Game logs from last year.
Miller the new Kopp movie that first. Is, obviously, the original Matrix is fantastic. Just want to point that out if anybody's listening and just got really mad at what we said.
Here, let's see. Miller Kopp, last season, home against Ohio State, which they won. They beat Ohio State. He had 23 points on 9 of 16 shooting.
That's the exact same stat line he had against Syracuse. That's funny. Except 28 points, but still.
Later in the season when they lost to the Buckeyes in Columbus, he had 16 points. So yeah, he played pretty well against Ohio State last year. My final prediction, if Kyle Young plays, I think they win. If Kyle Young doesn't play, I think they lose. We probably won't know until tomorrow. It's kind of strategic, I'm sure, partially strategic. They don't want to put it out there in public if he's playing yes or no until earlier, make them prepare for him.
It sounded like he was playing though, right? From his press conference, it sounded like he was doing a lot better.
Yeah, it sounds like he probably will. I think if he plays, they probably win. If not, I don't think they win. I think that it'll be a crazy environment, and they've got some young guys that probably aren't ready for that.
Yeah, and again, also to put into 2021 with COVID, or I guess 2022 now with COVID, how will that affect their crowd? I don't know. I'm assuming they might not be back. They're not back in school yet either, so that's another big thing. So we'll see. If you're gonna have to go to Assembly Hall, January 5th is a good time to do it because they're not I don't think the students are back yet. There'll still be students on campus, and I'm sure some will probably still be there, but you're not getting the full brunt of Assembly Hall, I don't think, on January 5th, which is good.
People in Indiana are absolute psychos about basketball, so I'm sure
I remember seeing a 200-person line to get into the gym just to watch Romeo Langford sign his letter of intent. Not do anything.
Yeah.
Sign his letter of intent. There was a line to get into the gym.
Romeo Langford, who never made the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, notoriously didn't do that well in Indiana.
Shout out Archie Miller. Anyway, speaking of frauds like Archie Miller, we're going to talk about we're going to follow up on our frauds from last week. We wrote an article going back and forth about who is the most fraudulent team in the Big Ten this season.
To sum it up in a sentence, mine looks good, yours looks bad.
On a scale of 0 to 10, your Minnesota fraud, I would give that a 10. I agree they are a big fraud. They got whacked by Illinois last night, I think, by like 23.
Whacked.
Like Italian mob, yeah, they whacked. Got killed. And then Wisconsin goes on the road to Purdue. Jonathan Davis just goes absolutely ballistic. He had like 37 points, 14 rebounds, and I think like 6 assists and like 2 blocks. Just absolutely nuts. And they beat Purdue on the road like a week after beating Nichols by 4. So I'm going to have to remove the fraud tag from Wisconsin for now, I guess.
Well, no, you don't have to. Just slap it on Wisconsin, but just take it off Johnny Davis because he didn't play in that Nichols game. And, I mean, if this has to be the number one team in the country that relies on one player. I mean, it is absolutely bonkers. He had 37 and 14. They almost lost. Can you imagine dropping that stat line? That's like LeBron 2018 type stuff. That's crazy.
He reminds me of James Bouknight from UConn, except a better shooter. Like that UConn team from – that was just last year – was ass, except he was very good. So like literally the only reason to watch UConn was because James Bouknight is going to score like 25 every single game. But the guys around him were trash. And that's kind of what Wisconsin reminds me of.
Yeah. And, Wisconsin, like I said, they're one of those teams like Indiana. I can see them beating anybody, and I can see them losing to anybody. As we've kind of proven with them, should have lost the Nichols, and they beat beat Purdue. So also Purdue just has a knack for E.J. Liddell should be excited to play Purdue, not matchup wise, but just in terms of they just let the best player on the other team go bonkers. Ron Harper for Rutgers against them had 30 and 10, and then you have Johnny Davis who had 37-14. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know if that's like on purpose or what. They just bring out the best and the best players. I don't know what it is, but it's weird.
The two Michigan teams, I would say Michigan definitively frauds compared to what was expected of them when the season began.
There's a lot wrong with that team.
They just look bad. That's probably on coaching, whether it's you didn't recruit. You know, they had the number one class in the Big Ten, I believe, and they have another one this year, another number one class. So either it's Juwan's not coaching up the guys that he got, he's not recruiting to replace what he lost. It's on him. He's got the talent on the roster, and they just look bad. And then Michigan State, possibly not frauds, question mark? Because we like kind of called them frauds last week without saying they were frauds. I still don't like them, but they just keep winning.
Yeah, I don't think they're frauds. I think somebody throughout, whether it's Gabe Brown, whether it's Tyson Walker, Joey Hauser, I don't care who it is, Max Christie, somebody's going to have to step up and be the star of that team. And it's kind of looking like Gabe Brown might be there. He's had a couple back-to-back 20-point games. He doesn't rebound the ball nearly as well as he should, but nevertheless, you know, he's at least scoring the ball. He's a great shooter with his length, with his height. So he can kind of be that, but he just hasn't been that consistently. So we'll see if he kind of consistently can take the role of the best player on that team. Every team needs a star.
I'm hesitantly lifting my hand off of the fraud button for Michigan State.
At this point in the Big Ten, everybody's just a fraud.
That's very true. Everybody except the Buckeyes are a fraud because we are objective.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The other game that we'll talk about super briefly, because I don't want to overload folks with info. Sunday afternoon, I believe, is when they play Northwestern at home. It'll be their first.
Yes, 5:30 tip. 5:30 tip. That was announced.
Their first home basketball game since December 11th. Whew. Against Wisconsin.
That went well.
First time in a month they've got a home game. It's Northwestern, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's going to be on Big Ten Network. I don't know if Northwestern plays before Sunday. I'm assuming they probably do. But I think that's a team they have to take seriously. I think they're probably a borderline tournament team.
Yeah, Northwestern actually plays, well, recording tonight. They play tonight, Wednesday, against Penn State. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, you'll know how that game went. And that game will say a lot about them. They just lost to Michigan State at home, but they only lost by 6. I watched that entire game. They played pretty well. You know, they've had the DePaul game would have been really good, but that got canceled. They beat Maryland. They lost to Wake Forest by 4. They beat Georgia. They lost to Providence by 5. You know, like, they're just, like you said, they're kind of a fringe tournament team. We actually wrote about this the other day. I actually have them in the tournament as of right now, but they have such a brutal start to their conference schedule their next 6 games just go Penn State, Ohio State, Maryland, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Purdue. Then they go Michigan, Illinois. So it's like, that's a brutal start. So we'll learn a lot about them. By January, we'll know exactly what they are, or by February, I should say. You know, they got Chase Audige back, which is huge. He's only played 4 games this season, but he's one of their best players. Pete Nance and Bo Bowie, which is by far the best name in the Big Ten. They're two stars. Pete Nance is averaging 16 points a game with 8 rebounds. Bo Bowie is averaging 14.6 points per game. You know, they're a really good team that I question their depth a little bit, and we've always questioned their coaching. But, you know, they're one of those teams where they need somebody like a Ryan Young, a Robbie Buran, a Ryan Greer, somebody to step up and have a good game if they want to beat a solid team. That was what they were missing against Michigan State. They just need somebody else to handle. You can't have two or three guys that are, do everything for you. That's Nebraska. And look, without, that's not getting them anywhere. You need guys to step up.
KenPom number 40, so KenPom certainly has them in the field. But their best wins are probably at Maryland, who's KenPom number 58. Maryland is also – they're looking like a questionable tournament team. And then they beat Georgia, who – dude, Georgia might not even be in the top – they may not even be in the top 100, KenPom. I don't even know if they are.
Georgia's not good.
They are 213. Holy mother of pearl.
They're like five and nine. They're not good at all.
Yeah, they're atrocious. Yeah, Northwestern beat Maryland, which is a fine win. Other than that, they haven't really played anybody that good. But they have some good guys on their team. They've got Pete Nance is very good. Chase Audige is good. Miller Kopp was good. Now he's gone, but like he was a very good piece for them. But Pete Nance and Chase Audige, off the top of my head, are two guys that are very good. They have a freshman named Casey Simmons who's pretty talented too. Definitely a team that could beat most teams in the Big Ten if you don't take them seriously. So that'll be a big one. But playing at home against them, that's a game that Ohio State should win that too. So if they win both of these, then you're looking at 5-0 in Big Ten play.
Yeah, that's kind of just to wrap up this conversation. I look at them as kind of Nebraska. They're not as bad, of course, but on the road, anything can happen. Tough place to play. You know, Evanston's a fun place to go to play games. But at home, you got to beat them at this rate.
I agree. They got to win that one for sure. I think at worst you got to split these two this week.
Yes, I would agree. You can't. Well, and I just in general, and I was kind of going to mention this about Indiana because you know you can't have those 0-2 conference weeks. You know what I mean? It's okay if you lose one. You're going to lose some games in conference play, especially in the Big Ten because it's a very good conference. But if you can avoid the 0-2 in conference in a week, avoid that kind of. That kind of start of what could be a spiral, that's always huge. So especially if they do drop the Indiana game, which, you know, it looks like we're kind of in agreement on, it pretty much comes down to whether or not Kyle Young plays. We didn't even say plays well. We just said plays, which shows you our faith in him.
Right.
But, if you know, then they might win or lose. Also, it's just impossible to predict games at Assembly Hall, to be honest with you, especially with them. Like you said, they have some young guards with Michi and Malachi Branham and even like a Eugene Brown, who's a sophomore, but he didn't get that experience last season. He's basically a freshman in terms of, you know, experience in front of crowds. You know, it'll be interesting how those guys play. And they're fearless, so I'm not worried about it, but still, it can affect you.
What the people are really coming to us for is St. John's content. We have a very brief St. John update. Do you want to give people an update on the Red Storm?
Yes, unfortunately, nothing has changed. They suck. No, I mean, the last four games have been canceled due to COVID. But right before that, they lost to Pitt. I don't know if you know this about Pitt. They're bad. So
a lot of losing, people are saying.
I'm dying on this hill. Pitt sucks. So, you know, St. John's losing to Pitt would imply they're worse. So they do start Big East play. What would be, you know. So they play tonight or tomorrow against DePaul?
They play tonight.
So Wednesday or Thursday? So Wednesday. So Thursday. Tomorrow you'll see if they – DePaul is a weird team. I don't know if they're good or not, to be honest. So we'll see. That'll be an interesting game. Not one I will be watching, but one I will check ESPN at like 11 o'clock.
DePaul is 9-3, but they're 102 in KenPom, and I think St. John's is 83. So they're somewhat similar teams.
How is St. John's 83? Oh, my God.
Fun fact, I'm going to a Pittsburgh game next month. I'm going to go.
Who are they playing?
I'm going to make a trip to Pittsburgh. I'm going to see Pitt play. Jeez, who are they playing when I go? It is Pitt versus NC State.
Oh God!
So I'll be there.
Good luck.
To just take in and just bask in the greatness that is Pitt basketball next month.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wins that game except the people that don't go to it. But okay, have fun.
Yeah, it'll be. I just like different arenas and stuff. Taking in different arenas and seeing what you know different. College basketball arenas are like, so I'm going to check it out next month. And then also in a few weeks, I'm driving to Nashville and I'm going to see Vanderbilt play Georgia, who turns out Georgia is atrocious. So hopefully that'll be a big Vanderbilt dub.
Vanderbilt's atrocious too. So also check out our new podcast, Connor on the Road, apparently, where he just reviews stadiums.
I'm just going to record the whole 6 hours that I drive down there and on my thoughts as I drive by, like cows, grass. Yeah, it's going to be a super shitty drive. I've actually never driven that far by myself, so I'm going to have to find some podcasts to queue up for sure.
Longest I've driven by myself was Nebraska to Ohio when I moved back. That was 14 hours.
That sounds absolutely atrocious. We're going to wrap it up here in just a second. We're at, I think, about 40 minutes. Not quite 40 minutes. Just something that I wanted to say just in general about cancellations, COVID-19, things like that, just because we're seeing a lot of responses to like our podcast Twitter, my own Twitter, the Land Grant channel and its different, the different media forms that people can reach Land Grant. Any notion that Ohio State canceled any of those games because they wanted to cancel those games or that it's part of some larger political scheme is absolutely ridiculous. The players want to play basketball more than any fan wants them to play basketball. The coaches want to coach basketball more than any fan wants to watch them play basketball. I promise. So getting a lot of people that are responding and saying like, Ohio State, because, we canceled these games because Ohio State chose to cancel these games. Ohio State didn't have enough players to play those last two games specifically. They didn't have the bodies to show up and play. And it's not fair to send four or five players. Technically, you can play four and five. It's not fair to send five guys who have not practiced in 2 weeks up against like a New Orleans or a UT Martin and say, I need all four of you or all five of you to play 40 minutes. So, that's not fair to them, and it doesn't put them in a position where they can win a game. And they could then get hurt doing that, and then you're out even longer. So any notion that Ohio State was being overly cautious or wanted to cancel them because of this, that, or the other, if they're trying to pander to some political scheme or make a statement, they want to play much, much, much more than you want to watch them play. And I just wanted to say that because that was kind of ticking me off. That'll do it for us today. If you are finding us on the website, please make sure to also subscribe on Spotify or Apple Music, whatever music streaming platforms you use.
Yeah, and feel free to follow us on Twitter, our podcast at Bucketheads LGHL. Myself, I am at Justin_Golba. One thing I will add real quick, the midseason Wooden Award watch list just came out. Obviously, Jay Liddell is one of the 25 members on that. So that's just not surprising, but kind of cool. And Connor, where are you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Lemons, which is LEMONS_Connor. I think you just said the Bucketheads account. The main account for Land Grant Holy Land is LandGrant33. But yeah, if you want to follow up with us, I'm at most of the home games. I know, Justin, you're usually manning the Bucketheads account while I'm at the arena. So if you want to follow along, middle of the game and throughout the games, we try to keep people updated that way. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it, and have a great weekend, and go Bucks.